RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And welcome back to the Carson Anderson Show. Doug will be back next week. Got Kang behind the glass, Corbin behind the glass. Corbin will be answering the phones. We take your calls at 248-539-9797. Same number to text if you'd like to do that. Been talking about the officiating in the NFL. I just watching the game last night, and I thought, my goodness, what is going on here? Some strange non-calls, and it really comes down to pass interference. And I just and I asked the question before the show when I was talking to Kang, like, is this becoming more of a problem? Are we? And Kang, you had asked the question with our football questions weeks ago, is the NFL better or worse with the officiating? Has it gotten better or worse? And now you're changing your opinion.
Yeah, I was kind of like, it's the same, maybe slightly worse, but now I think I'm full on it's worse. And not like dramatically worse, but I think it has gotten worse. And do we have more angles and camera views and ways to bitch about it with social media? Yes, we do. But I do think objectively, there's too much gray area now. Before, if someone caught a touchdown pass, we all thought it was a touchdown pass. It was a touchdown. Now in 2025, did he control the ball? Did he follow through with the process? Did he roll over with it? Did he tuck it in bed? You know what I mean? All that stuff.
Did it move?
Yeah.
Did it brush his teeth?
Now it's just too much. And then you throw in all the OPI and DPI stuff. I just feel like certain refs are calling what they think is the rule compared to what is the rule, which I'm not even sure the NFL knows.
What I actually enjoy seeing this happen on the field when there's a flag thrown or if there's not a flag thrown, the play is over. You got people from both sides complaining about something. I like when the officials get together and they have their powwow, because what that tells me during that powwow, not only are they getting input from everybody else. Hey, what did you see? What did you see? This is what I'm thinking. I'm not sure of it yet. I want corroboration. Not only are they getting that, but it allows New York or wherever the hell replay assist is, it allows them time to take a look at the play as well. And then they can say, hey, if you guys are worried about if this is pass interference, we think it's pass interference. And then you kind of get the go ahead to drop the flag or to pick a flag up if you don't think it is. Hey, if you guys are thinking this is roughing the passer, we don't think this is roughing. He actually didn't. It's not helmet to helmet hit, or it was a helmet to helmet hit. You guys missed it. I want them to get the call right. And I recognize that people that don't like instant replay or they don't like replay assist or they don't like any of this added stuff because they think it adds too much time to the game. I've never had a problem with that if the call gets right in the end. And I do think replay assist helps to speed the game along and make it better because you're getting the call right. And there's going to be less complaining about it. I'd like to see more of the replay assist, actually. And it doesn't necessarily mean that interference calls have to be, you know, challenged. I don't necessarily think that is what where we have to go. But I don't mind the replay assist in helping the officials along with their job, because you're assuming that the guys doing the replay assist are former officials or current officials. Maybe it's just a capacity. They rotate it. Hey, one guy's up in the booth. I don't know. I think there are ways around this to make it better for sure. 248-539-9797. Philip is in Detroit. You're next up here in 97.1. Hey, Philip.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Good morning, Ken.
Hey.
So, in reference to last night's call, I think that the main reason why the official did not, and by me being an official in basketball and football here in Detroit and high, on the high school level, I think the main reason why the official did not make the call is because he did not, initially within that interaction, the receiver interfered with the defender because he did somewhat grab his face mask and, you know, was hands to the face and pushing the defender off. In the same process with the defender, he did grab his arm. So I don't think he wanted to penalize the receiver and call offensive pass interference and to penalize them at a crucial point of the game. And he also didn't want to penalize the defender because it was more of a cat fight type of situation going on when you look at the replay.
Yeah, I thought there was hand fighting, and I think even the guys during the game last night during the broadcast, they said the same thing. Like, oh, there's hand fighting, and then there's a restriction of the arm and trying to make the catch, and that's where the interference comes in. So I think the hand fighting is both sides. You can allow that to happen, but when the hand fighting turns into I'm grabbing your arm as the ball is coming to you and you're not able to move your arm in a position to catch the ball, that's restrictive and that's pass interference and should have been called.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that it was defensive pass interference, but there was some level of offensive pass interference at the same time. But I agree with your point and whatnot, and I am of the ilk of like Kane. To me, the officiating in football has gotten a lot of worse, but they kind of train us to like and when we're doing high school, you can always just throw a flag if you think there's something in it, and then you can have a conversation like you said. And then if you've been like another official saw something different to help you out, then yeah, you can pick the flag up. Me personally, my biggest problem with the officiating is like when you do an instant replay and it's an obvious either no call or an obvious call, and you get this assist from New York and it goes against everything that your common sense and your eye is telling you. That's what I have an issue with, and it makes the whole process like stupid. It's like, okay, why did we even have this here? If you're gonna, you know what I'm saying, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. You don't want to bastardize the whole system. I mean, it is what it is, and thanks for the call, Todd. And I do, I think, and this goes back to having to define what the hell it is in the first place, or what is allowable and what isn't allowable. And if as officials as a whole, if you're going to allow hand fighting to a certain point, then do that. Or don't do that. But the rule has to be pretty clear of what's acceptable and when is it not acceptable. Well, hand fighting is not acceptable when you get to, you know, the last stage of the ball coming into view and when a player is trying to catch. If you're still hand fighting, it's going to be a penalty somewhere. It just feels like that just makes more sense. Todd is in White Lake. Todd, welcome to 97.1.
Yeah, hey guys, how you doing, man?
All right, Todd.
So, you know, I think everything changed, you know, when Megatron didn't complete the process. You know, it's funny, I'm a Bears fan, so I was elated. We won the game. But I think forever the game was changed that day when we had to complete the process and this whole thing about a football move. And, you know, I swear before that, you know, growing up, I'm 50 years old. That was what, about 15 years ago, whatever it was. Everything I knew before that was you get two hands on the ball, you secure the ball, 2 feet down, and that's a catch. And I don't know what happened that day, but it changed.
Right.
And, you know, like, think about it. Think how much more exciting the game would be, how much grayness would be taken out of the game, right? How many times do we see guys get the ball 2 feet down, he gets blown up, the ball goes flying, right? There'd be turnovers galore. You know, there'd be all this grayness would be gone, right? They need to get back to that.
Thanks for the call. I'm not sure if I want to get back to that, but I would say that I think he's right, Kang, when you talk about the Calvin Johnson complete the process, that changed everything.
That definitely changed everything. I mean, that was the moment. That was the flashpoint.
I watched that play today. And I might actually side that. No, he didn't. That's not a catch.
Stop.
Because
the man used the
it.
Ball to get up from the ground,
I
and he called
I understand.
It not complete because of it. It's absolutely ridiculous. And now we have this ridiculous, like, we have to, like I said, you've got to take the ball home, tuck it in bed, wake up in the morning, take it to school with you, and announce it present for class before they call a touchdown. This is insane.
Did you think the Puka Nacua catch at the end of the game was a catch on the sideline?
Now I think maybe because of what we have going on. Now remember the catch against the Packers receiver? Was it Wicks against the Lions in the corner? As soon as it touched his fingertips, apparently they called that control. He dragged the toe, left the feet off the ground, then brought the ball in, and they called that a catch. I don't know anymore. To me, what looked like a touchdown catch before I'm not sure what it is anymore. Like Isaiah Likely earlier this year had caught the ball in the end zone with 2 feet, hand in the air, or hands away from his body with the ball, and then the DB knocked the ball out of his hands. After he already had 2 feet in the ground in the end zone, they called that incomplete. That looked like a touchdown to me. Why are we even having this debate? We used to not have this debate. We used to be like, that's a touchdown. Yeah. That's not. Now it's always, everything's up for
debate.
It does
seem like it was so much easier before. Like, that's a catch.
If it looks
that's
like
not
a touchdown,
catch.
It's a touchdown.
Touchdowns, are, it's a whole, it, that takes it to a different level, right? And it seems so stupid. It's like, if I'm making a play in the end zone, there's a different rule than if I'm making a play at the 2 yard line.
So the Puka catch you're talking about last night, which was incredible.
It was amazing.
They ruled it incomplete, and I think they got it right personally. But if they would have ruled it a catch, I think people would be like, well, he had it for that split second, 2 feet down, right? That's the argument. Why are we arguing this?
If they ruled it a catch, it would be the catch of the year, the play of the year, the play of the century. It
unreal.
Was absolutely. If you haven't seen the Puka Nacua catch from last night, it actually wasn't a catch. On the sideline, late in the game, he lays out with one arm, catches it with the ball is in his hand. Did it go off the defender first or what? I mean, the defender's arm is there too, and he's making a play on the ball, and somehow it's sticking like it's a Nerf ball to his hand. Like, I'm not letting this go. And then the ball does come out for a half a second. At this point, his feet are no longer in bounds. And
as he's going out of bounds, he regathers the ball. But he's able to regather
it, and still it would have been a catch if it were in the middle of the field, but because it's on the sideline, you have to have the feet in. They were in initially, and at the end they weren't. It was an amazing play that ends up not being a catch, and just but part of this whole thing. Yes, I think we can all agree it is hard to officiate. I'm not, you know, killing the refs here. I just think that interference is a call that I'd like to see, you know, kind of smoothed out and understood better and get more consistency out of. I don't think that's asking too much. 248-539-9797. Same number if you'd like to text us and get your thoughts in as well as we continue here on 97.1. I feel like I need to make this clear too, Kang. I love the NFL. I love professional football. I have since I was a kid, since I got my first box of football cards when I was a kid, since I watched my first Super Bowl, the Cowboys beating the Broncos 27-10. And I love football. That was Super Bowl 12. There are things that annoy me about it, and that's just the passion that comes out as a fan. Like when we talk about here the inconsistency of the officiating when it comes to, you know, specifically with pass interference, it bothers me a little bit. But everything else about it, there's something to like. And I've always been a guy, even though I suck at math, I love statistics. I love the numbers of the game and going into it. And I saw this come across on a tweet from Josh Dubow. It was retweeted by Ed Werder, but Josh Dubow is he's a writer with the Associated Press. He says Sam Darnold has the most giveaways in the NFL with 20. Geno Smith of the Raiders is second with 18. The only quarterbacks since at least 1990 to win the Super Bowl in a season with 20 plus giveaways. Eli Manning did it twice, and Ben Roethlisberger did it as well. I bring this up just because I'm not mining for stuff to hate Sam Darnold over. Kang, you know, not a big Sam Darnold.
Yeah, are you sure?
I'm not mining it.
Sure.
If it happens, it happens. If it happens to come up on a Twitter feed and it's a stat that can support me in calling Sam Darnold one of the luckiest guys in NFL history, then I'm going to do it. You know, Sam Darnold lucked into a situation last year when he was in Minnesota and they had all those weapons to work with. And yeah, they had a 14-win season. This year, they're out of the playoffs. He gets a deal, free agent deal, signs with Seattle. and they've got a ton of weapons to work with in Seattle, a good offensive line to protect him, and he's been okay. His quarterback rating's at 99, but he's got 20 giveaways. He leads the NFL in giveaways, and yet that's the team that might be the number one seed in the NFC.
That's why I go back to there is no dominant team this year in the NFL. If I had to pick one right now who I think is going to win it all, the best team at least, I'd probably go with the Broncos. I mean, they just have, you know, Bo Nix on offense. Good, yeah. Their defense is incredible. Sean Payton and Bo Nix work well together. I'd probably go Broncos, but it's not like by a long shot or anything like that. Seattle, they might be the number one seed in the NFC, and I don't think anyone's really fearful of the Seahawks. They can be beaten. You just mentioned all the turnovers Sam Darnold is prone to give up. Stat-wise, he hasn't had the best year, but I'll say this, Gator, about your Sam Darnold dislike. He's not nearly as bad as you make him out to be. Now, he's not great, but he's not nearly as bad. Look what the Vikings did without him. Same team, basically. They suck. And Seattle, with him, they're going to win 14 games again, maybe, too. He might go back-to-back seasons with 14 wins on different teams.
Which I think he'd be the first player in NFL history to do that. But how many quarterbacks are going from a 14-win team to not being on that team?
Well, I guess my point is you got to give him a little bit of credit, man. He's the common denominator. It's hard to find good quarterback play in this league, and I don't think he's great or anything, but I think he's pretty good. The problem with him is big games. Can he win big games? And they'll come in playoff time. We'll see. Last year he choked against the Lions at the finals regular season game, and then in the playoffs he choked. This year, earlier in the year, they played the Rams when it was a big game. He had four picks. They just played the Niners, right?
They just played, I think.
No, that was the first game of the year. They just played the Panthers.
And then they play the Rams the week before?
Yeah, two picks in that game.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Sam Darnold. So just, you know, get back to him being he was the number one overall pick.
We have a big game this weekend for him, man. Niners for the division.
Yeah, it's for the number one seed.
Yeah.
It's a huge game.
If the regular Sam Darnold shows up, he's going to lose this game.
Look, I'm not mining for it. I'm just saying sometimes something gets presented in front of you, and you have to, why not read it? 20 giveaways this year to lead the NFL, and yet, you know, he's on one of the better teams in football. Is it because of him that he's one of the better teams in football? Look, he's not hurting them. You know, he's good enough. And when you combine that with the Geno Smith, is second in the league with 18. He's with the Raiders. Well, Geno Smith goes from Seattle to the Raiders. Now, the Raiders are a team that doesn't have the talent. They clearly don't have the talent. And probably made a mistake by, you know, hanging all your hopes and dreams on Geno Smith. Anyway, 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Let's go to Greg, who's next up on 97.1. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Good. How are you? Thank you. Same to you.
Good. Hey, back to your pass interference conversation. I agree with the one caller. Make it a 15-yard penalty rather than a spot foul. But I would expand that to coincide with what college football does with targeting. Call a penalty, and if it's flagrant and it's obvious, make it a spot foul, particularly in the end zone or on a scoring play.
Well, then you're going to have to really define it because, I mean, they have it pretty well defined what they think targeting is. And even that gets misinterpreted, in my opinion. I don't think it's adjudicated properly. But if you're going to say if it's flagrant, then you have to define what flagrant is, and that's just going to make it more convoluted, I think.
It's like pornography. You'll know it when you see it, right?
Maybe.
They should write that in the NFL shield. Goodell would pass that, right?
The NFL. It's just like pornography. You know it when you see it.
It's in the game.
Yeah. Pass interference. Uncensored. Aaron is next up here on 97.1. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, thanks for letting me on, guys. Great show today.
Thank you very much.
So when is the NFL going to start treating its referees like full-time employees and making them full-time employees? All these guys that play in the NFL have off-season workouts and OTA, did all the other things. But who was it? Ed Hockley, famously, was a lawyer.
Yeah, all these guys have other
jobs. And an NFL referee.
And
I'm pretty sure lawyer is a full-time job.
Yeah, no, all the officials have, they're basically all have other occupations. But these guys are the referees, in a quick Google search, NFL referees earn an average annual salary between $200,000 and $250,000, depending on experience.
Okay, so let's increase that by a factor of three and let them not do this anymore. The NFL is a multi-billion dollar sport that does not treat their most important pieces like part of the family. Like, bring them in, do this stuff so in the off season they are watching tape over and over. We're changing.
Yeah, but I mean, how much do you need to watch? I mean, you're talking about a full-time job, so 40-hour a week job. How much tape do you need to watch to understand what's what? I mean, and thanks for the call. I guess I've never been an advocate of it has to be a full-time job or treat it like it's a full-time job. I think there should be pride in their job for sure, and if they're not getting it done, find somebody else. You hire the best of the best, and you hold them accountable to a degree. Now, will they eventually capitulate and make this a full-time endeavor? Probably down the road. I mean, I've been hearing this argument for 30 years. But they make a pretty good living. Now, could they make more and make it your quote-unquote full-time job, double the salary, and hey, an official is going to make $400,000 to $500,000, and then you have, or the referee will make $400,000 to $500,000, and the other officials are going to make, you know, well into six figures. Sure, whatever. I guess whatever. Hook them. I don't really care with that. I just, the idea that these guys would be spending 8 hours a day during the week watching film. You know, there's only so much film you can watch before. Yep, got it. Got caught up. It's like doing your seminar or doing, you know, some sort of at work survey that you have to do. I don't know. I don't know if it makes as much sense for that. I'd like to have a way to hold them accountable. And if it means that they get paid more, fair enough. And but you know, it's more than just a Sunday job, I guess. And they should treat it more than just a Sunday job. And or find people that will find the time where they're not constrained by another full-time job. 248-539-9797. Got some Dan Campbell sound we want to get to coming up at the top of the hour, what he had to say about the defensive coordinator of this Lions team, and also what he had to say about Jared Goff as we continue here at 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Got a question for the people that we're going to bring up in about 8 minutes or so. I think it's something we were kicking around yesterday that I think should have an interesting response to the question as it relates to football. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text as well. Joe is in Gros Eel. You're next up here, 97.1. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Gator. You know, over the years, pass interference used to be objective, obvious, everybody knew it. Now it's morphed into so subjective, especially offensive pass interference. When they call that pick play now, where a guy's running a route, all that somebody's got to do is run into him. Whether he's pushing off or not, all you got to do is bump into him and say, I couldn't cover my guy. That is the most ridiculous call in sports, and it's cost the Lions two games this year and the shot in the playoffs. They need to revisit that in particular. It used to be clever scheme play. Now they're calling that offensive PI, and it's a joke.
Well, it's one of those calls that, I mean, I could see either way. I do think the teams do it specifically to try to get a pass interference call on the defense, and I think the referees have gotten wiser to that, and I think there are times that absolutely it's an offensive interference, that they're just, it's a pick play, and I don't, you know, picking somebody is, it should be illegal.
Well, it should be, but when Tesla's running his route, and the other guy who's covering St. Brown runs into Tesla because he can't cover Brown, hoping to get the offensive PI and gets it, that's an awful call. And it costs the Lions a game.
Well, it is, except, and thanks for the call, Joe, but they were ruling that he was, you know, did he do it on his own? Because it looks like Tesla lowers a shoulder when he gets into it, and I don't know if he's just instinctively bracing for impact or not. Then there are other people that say, well, that the first defender pushes Tesla into him, and then that starts the whole thing going downhill. Whatever. I do think there needs to be clarification with pass interference, and pick plays are particularly difficult to deal with. Ray is in Romulus. Welcome to 97.1. Hey, Ray.
What's going on there? Hey, I just want to preface it. In regards to the pass interference, I played wide receiver in college, pretty good at it. And I want to say this, that the wide receivers and the pros get the calls all the time. From those push-offs, you see it all the time, extending arms right before the ball comes, and the refs never call that play. So it's very difficult from a defender to try to stop a ball to get into receiver's hands. If he can push, and you see it all the time, he extends that arm, I'll push the DB away to get that little space to catch the ball.
Yeah, Ray, just out of curious, when did you play college football?
Oh, I played, this was 89 through 93.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how unfair the rules are for defenders when it comes to pass interference or even just doing their job as a defender. Being a defensive back in the National Football League is near impossible to do it successfully because every rule is stacked against you. It's all in favor of the receiver.
And then additionally, in regards to this is something that your counterpart always says, offense wins championships. That's not the truth. Defense wins championships. Defense carries. You talked about Sam Darnold. See, the Seahawks defense is carrying those guys. Sam Darnold has 20 turnovers. I would take the Seahawks defense and Sam Darnold over the Lions offense and our defense. Okay, it's all about defense. You got to look at Denver, same deal. You got a young quarterback, but you got a hell of a defense. So if you don't solidify that defense, because that carries no matter where you go, and you just say he had 20 turnovers, yep. That's incredible. That's incredible. So, you know, I would take Sam Darnold in a minute and that defense over our team.
Well, the way our offensive line is played, I mean, I would understand that when you've got a healthy defensive roster, that's gonna help too. I think it's cyclical. I think everything is cyclical. I think you shift from one area, you go from defense wins to another area, it's offense wins, and I think now it might be in another transition and it's blended a little bit, and we'll see who ends up winning and why. The best thing to do is have a really good offense and have a really good defense. That sounds like a plan. If you can do that, as far as the Lions are concerned, yeah, it'd be nice to have a secondary, a healthy secondary, and it'd be nice to have a healthy offensive line or just a different offensive line maybe is what it's going to come down to. When the offseason hits, you know, a week from yesterday, I think there's going to be some really – I don't know if there are going to be some hard decisions. There'll be a few hard decisions to make for the Lions of what they're going to end up doing. But I think the toughest thing they're going to have to do is rebuilding that offensive line and decide what has to go where. And Dan Campbell he had said about Tate Ratledge that it's the door is still open or the book is still open and whether or not he moves to center. Won't happen on Sunday, but in the offseason they're going to think about that and in training camps, and are we going to let Ratledge play center? Even though he's been a right guard his entire career in college and now the first year in the pros. But they did draft him thinking he might play some center and did play a little bit for a few days in training camp before deciding Glasgow was a center and Ratledge be right guard. But, you know, the fact that the door is still open for that discussion tells me that Graham Glasgow is not coming back. And so they're going to have to find somebody else playing center. Is that going to be Frank Ragnow? I don't know. You know, if you heard what we talked to Jared Goff about it, Jared Goff didn't seem to think that Frank was going to come back and play.
No, that was one of the things that I took out of that interview was this was the one-time deal, I think, that Frank was going to come back. They were close. They needed some help there, and he was going to give it a go. But after, obviously, they found out his hamstring was torn off the bone or whatever it was, that he's like, done,
I didn't
man.
Know. I just thought, that's it. How tough Frank Ragnow is. He had no idea. I didn't know it was torn. I just felt a little tweak there, but I thought we were okay.
Yeah, I haven't looked this up yet, but I'm pretty sure the Lions are the only NFL team in history that had a retired player they'd put on IR. That's how bad the attrition's been this year.
That's how bad it's been.
We had to put a retired player on IR.
Oh, man.
It's not even on the team.
I still think there's a really good chance that Frank comes back. I don't know if he
seriously? You said really good chance.
I did.
Take that back, dude. I'll let you walk it back.
No.
Okay, really good chance. You're staying
really good
with
chance.
It. I'll say less than 1%. So I'm like complete opposite.
Because he's been away. He's had time. I don't know if he had surgery or if that was even an injury that you need surgery for. I don't know. Now, let's say that it is an injury you need surgery for if you're going to play in the NFL, or you not have surgery, you just live your life. I don't know. But
you're sticking with a really good chance, even after hearing Jared say, I don't think so.
Because I think we talked about this earlier in the season. At some point, I think we asked Jared Goff, or maybe it was either Jared Goff, or I know Dan Campbell was asked about Frank Ragnow coming back, and he's like, nope, that ship has sailed. And then 2 weeks later, what happened? Hey, Frank's coming back. Until he wasn't coming back. So, I don't know. I think that, I think there's still a really good chance. Maybe it's just my heart hoping that he's going to come
whatever
back.
Whatever it is, man, you're sticking by it.
Yeah, I'm holding on to it.
I think it's
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to walk it back. I'm not going to walk it back.
Sometimes we just say stuff that comes out of our mouths. I'm like, hey, maybe you didn't mean really good chance. Because I don't know. Do you know what really good chance means?
Did you say really good chance? I did say really good chance.
Okay.
I think better than 60%. But here's the thing. Percentages mean nothing. It either is or it isn't.
Well, it depends.
I mean, there's a probability. I mean, how do you measure probability?
The result is binary.
Back?
Doesn't mean how you get there is binary.
I feel he's going to come back, and I'm hopeful he's going to come back because they need him. They need him badly.
You want to do a long term lunch bet on this?
No, I'm not going to do a long term lunch bet on this.
Well, I mean, long term because you get the full year. I'll give you the full 26 season. Oh, here we go.
You want lunch?
Yep.
All right, you got it.
Yeah.
You got Woo! It. You got it.
I'm not giving out a cash in on 2027. That's okay.
Well, I think there comes a point in 2026 where we can say, all right.
Yeah, if you want to say, you know, if you want to wave the white flag, I'm cool with that, too.
Maybe I get hungry for Chick-fil-A, too. I'm like, I'll just pay off the bet right now. This is how it goes. All right, so yesterday we were kind of kicking this idea. We were talking about the it was the Indianapolis game, right? So Indianapolis is at the end of the game, and who are they playing?
Jacksonville.
And Indy is trying to make a comeback. And it's the end of the game, and, you know, old man Rivers is in there. And he was doing okay. I mean, there's nothing great about what Phil Rivers was doing, okay, other than the fact that he's old, you know, 44 years old, and he's still out there trying to make plays.
It's going to be great when Dennis Quaid plays his Philip Rivers in the Disney movie.
Right, exactly. I promised the kids I would get out there and try. Love The Rookie. Such a great flick. If Rivers comes in, they take Rivers out at the end of the game because they're at the 50-yard line, they have one play left, and they have to get the ball to the end zone. So what that is saying is that they don't think Phil Rivers can throw the ball 50 yards in the air. He needs to get the ball in the air. So they bring in Riley Leonard, the kid from Notre Dame, and he heaves a pass up high up in the air and 50 yards deep, and it ends up, I think he got picked off actually in the end zone, but he made a good effort at it. But the point was they trusted Riley Leonard to do that and not the KG Wiley veteran that is Philip Rivers, because it's apparent Philip Rivers cannot throw the ball 50 yards anymore. And then you were asking, how many guys think they can throw the ball 50 yards?
Because it ain't easy. I'm not trying to clown on Philip Rivers, but this is the NFL. You have to be able to throw 50 yards as a quarterback. It's not like, I mean, he's old, but he's not 60 or something. He's 44, right? Average age of maybe our listener. I have no idea. Not ancient, not young.
Right. I would say probably around 40, yeah.
he can't throw 50 anymore. And I asked you basically, Gator, I'm like, how many just regular guys listening to us think they can throw an NFL football 50 yards in the air?
So we're going to take 10 texts on this, okay? We're taking the 10 texts and sign your text so we can give you the proper attribution that you, this is you that is making the statement. Do you think that you can throw the ball 50 yards? Like, how many guys still think that they can't, or maybe you never could, and you're like, I can't, and you just want to admit, I can never throw it 50 yards, whatever the case is. But text in, because I think this is an interesting question. Plus, I get to inflate my ego a little bit, and I like that. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, so we asked the people for 10 texts. Can you throw it 50 yards? Can you throw above 50 yards? We bring this up because Philip Rivers was taken out of the game at the end of the game. They needed a Hail Mary, and they needed a 50-yard pass to do it. They took Philip Rivers out, and they brought in Riley Leonard. So he said, can you throw it 50 yards? First text we get is great. Uncle Rico can throw it over mountains. That's from Marvin in the car.
Well, how far are those mountains?
Pretty far. Really far. And that's in New Mexico, too. I mean, maybe it aids because you've got the elevation. Helps the ball travel further. I threw 47 yards in high school. That's from Tom in Royal Oak. I definitely cannot as a 23-year-old, Jacob in Rochester. I've got maybe 25 yards. I guarantee 2% of listeners can. That's Blake in Brighton. Yes, I can think I could throw, I could do it 60. That's Corey in Grand Rapids. He's age 34.
60?
He's 34 years old.
Did he play quarterback in college or anything or high school? And by the way, we're talking NFL-sized football, right, Gator?
Yeah.
I don't think people realize, the average person realizes how big an NFL football is. It's not the ball that's in the rack at Dunham's that you just grab from the cage, okay?
No, but you can buy an NFL official size football, yes.
But they're much bigger than college footballs, let alone high school footballs or the Nerf footballs.
It's definitely bigger than a Nerf ball, yeah. And it's not the Duke that you're throwing. I could throw a Duke like 70 yards back in the day. I'm 52 and I could definitely throw the ball 50 yards. I know this because I had a contest with my nephew and I embarrassed him in front of his lady. That's in Chris in a truck. Not a chance. Maybe 30 yards. Kyle and Ferndale. I can never throw it 50 yards. Scott and Flint. I don't think I could throw it 50 yards and I'm 33 and in good shape. Former basketball player Luigi in Sterling Heights. I'm 48. Don't think I could get to 50 anymore. 5 years ago, I threw 50-yard passes playing around with my kids. That's Greg in Belleville. So I think there's only 2 out of the 10 that said that they could do it. I think it's actually impressive. People doing some real self-reflecting there and not getting too macho about this, saying they can do it. So Doug and I, when we were at training camp years ago for Lions training camp, we would always, at some point, there'd be a football lying around. We'd throw a football to each other. And then we would just say, can we throw it 50? And try to do it. And we could do it. The last time we did that, I think, may have been 2019. I think once COVID hit, I don't think we've had a chance to do it, and they've had us in different locations, and it's just not the same for us to be able to get that done, to test our mettle and see if we can do it. I will tell you that at that time that we did it, that we were both getting real close to not being able to throw 50 anymore, but we were still getting it done. And we had literally 30 seconds to warm up before we tested it out. I think we both threw it like 52 yards. This is something that, yeah, it was not a problem. I was always able to throw a football really well. So this feeds my ego because, yeah, I could definitely get it done. I remember when I was 18, we just graduated high school, and I was at my buddy's house, and we're hanging out, throwing a football around, and his older brother was there, and his older brother had just finished college, and he had a couple of his friends, and they decided to get a bet together who could throw the football the furthest. And my friend, who's was the younger brother of these guys, he just started laughing, said, "How much you guys want against Otis," which was me. And they're like, let's go $10 a man. I go, let's go $20 a man. And I said, you guys go ahead and you throw it. I'll give you each two throws. And after you've all thrown it, then the first time I'll go last, and then I'll let you see if you still want to do this. And these guys chucked it as far as they could, and they were like 40, 45 yards. And I threw it once at like 60. And I just said, you want, just pay me the money now. Because that's how it was back then.
Humble brag over here, man.
I'm not being humble about this. This is the one thing in my life I can brag about.
Do you think you throw 50 yards right now?
I think I would have to warm the arm up, and I think I can still get it to 50. I think it's going to be real close. I'll admit that. I don't know if I think I can. But
don't you have back issues right now?
Well, that's right. Right now, the back is definitely holding this one out.
Right, you want to walk it back a little?
If you're going to ask me, if this was last Friday, I could do this. Or I think I could do this. Now, in my current state, no. Give me another couple weeks and then to heal up the back. And then give me 5 minutes to warm the arm up. And I'd be curious to see if I can do it. I think I could, but I wouldn't guarantee it.
I think less than 2% of guys can throw the ball 50 yards.
It is, and I'm glad to see that only 2 out of 10 here said that they can do it, because it is something that it's not easy to do.
I think they should have a competition at Lions games and pick a random fan and see if you can throw 50 yards for like $50. And I just want to see.
For $50?
Yep. 50 for 50, we call it.
I mean, we have the 50 Miller Lite playing. The competition with the Miller Lite bottle, and I'm going to win, you know, like $5,000, but you're going to say $50.
All they're doing is throwing a
for
football.
Public
That's
humiliation.
It. We'll do five guys to bring them out there, all right?
Yeah.
And then just, yeah, just I want to see these 20-yard ducks.
Now, the other thing you're right about is the size of the football. It is a different football to throw than say, a high school football. And they're inflated completely. The ball is slick. Like these quarterbacks, the way they spin the ball in practice, it's impressive, right? Because this is what Doug and I were throwing 6 years ago. It was a real legitimate NFL football. And we both commented at the time, like, oh, this does feel a little different. I'm like, I can't grip this as well as I used. I still do it. And we still did it. And the Doug actually was able to still throw it 50, which I was very impressed with. So
he's got a bad shoulder, doesn't he?
Yeah. At the time, and he was like, I'm done. After he threw it one time, he's like, all right, that's it. And then he had to work some kinks out after that. But, yeah, it's a test I'd like to still try. Absolutely. But Philip Rivers, professional quarterback in the league for 20-some years, couldn't do it. They had to bring in the backup to throw it. Now, to be fair to Philip Rivers, the other part of the equation, it's not just throwing it 50 yards. They wanted to launch it and get some height on it, too. It's not just throwing it on a line 50. You're not just heaving it as far as you can. You're trying to throw it up in the air,
like
too.
Like a balloon ball, so it comes down and have a chance. And also,
that's different.
For a Hail Mary, I know they're not rushing a lot of guys, but you have to move around a little bit to buy some time. And Rivers ain't fleet of foot either. So
yeah, you're just asking if I could throw it, nobody on the field,
exactly,
50 yards. Yeah. And yeah, it's different than, oh, crap, here comes, you know, Jared Verse trying to knock me down. Yeah, I think I still have that shot. Today I'd love to try it. It would be fun. Let's go to the phones. Mike is on a cell phone. Mike, welcome to 971.
Hey guys, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Just so you know, I was on the phone when you guys kind of started this conversation. And, you know, back in the 80s, I could throw a pigskin a quarter mile, no problem. But if you guys took me to Chick-fil-A and I got two avocado lime ranch dressings for lubrication for my shoulder to go on that Cobb salad, then maybe I might be able to hit 50 now. But I think there's a strong correlation. I would pose the next question is, how many guys think they could still touch 80 on a gun? On a radar gun. See, so I think that would be the second part of that caveat.
That's an interesting one, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Mike. I will tell you this. My ability to throw football does not correlate to my ability to throw a baseball. Not even close.
Did he say still touch 80? Who touches 80 as an average person?
I was
person?
Just going to say, I'm not sure how many guys can touch 80 in the first place.
No way.
That is.
You ever watch that? Well, yeah. Anyways.
We'll talk more about this next. 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.